Chapter 16. A Conversation. I lay without moving for a long time, but there was no further sound. I took a long stick and pushed it up the opening of the chimney. It met a hard, solid object. I pulled it back a little, for fear of some trap or explosive, then pushed it up again. Then I lit a candle and examined the object carefully. It was a large piece of wood which had been cut from the end of a tree and pushed firmly into the opening. I crawled to the door and pushed against it. Nothing moved. I felt a sense of panic mixed with relief that the end had finally come. I decided to run out and let them shoot me. A quick death merited. I took my axe and hit it hard into the wood of the door. Then I pulled off the wood. On the other side of the door was a thick piece of iron. Clive Smith and his assistant had put it there. I was trapped on all sides. I got into my sleeping bag and lay there with my head on my arms, trying to decide what to do. I was controlled, but there was a noise in my ears and my skin was cold and sweaty. Suddenly, I heard Clive Smith's voice. "Can you hear me?" There was no point in keeping silent. He had probably heard me hitting the door with my axe, and he knew I was inside. "Yes," I said, "I can hear you." "Are you seriously injured?" Clive Smith asked. "No, you hit the whiskey flask that was in my top inside pocket," I answered truthfully. "How did you find me?" "I went directly from the farm building to this lane," he replied. "I thought I might see you returning to your hiding place. In fact, I was afraid you had made a trap for me." "I never tried to kill you," I said. "I could have done so many times if I had wished." "I know," he replied, "but I depended on you leaving me alone. You knew that if you killed me, the police would look for you instead of me. It was obviously better to persuade me that you had gone. You did, as a matter of fact." He was a braver and a cleverer man than I am. He must have been in fear of his life all the time that he was at the farm. "Couldn't you give me a nicer death than this?" I asked. "You are wrong. I don't want you to die at all, not now," he said. "This situation has taken me by surprise as well as you. I can't promise you anything, but your death seems completely unnecessary. Sooner or later, I'll be able to return you to your normal life and your old friends." "On what condition?" I asked. "That's not important now," he replied. "Tell me, have you got enough food?" "Yes, thank you," I answered. He was pretending to be kind to me. I felt that he was actually enjoying this cat-and-mouse game. He knew very well that I was trapped now, and that he had the advantage. "I'm not going to tell you any more," I said. "You can't stay here forever. Why don't you finish it now?" "I can stay here for months," he answered. "My friend and I are going to study the habits and diet of the squirrel. We've organised everything so that we look like two harmless men who are involved in a peaceful nature study project." "You're a fool," I said. "Everyone in the area will be terribly curious about you." "I don't think so," he replied. "Nobody at the farm pays any attention to me. Sometimes I go out with a gun, sometimes not. Sometimes on foot, sometimes in the car. Why should they guess that I'm always in this lane? They've never seen you. They won't see me. And nobody suspects my assistant of anything. They think he's got a job as a night watchman." I was becoming very angry, but I also realised that he was in a strong position. He had a gun, and I didn't. If he killed me, the result would be quite satisfactory for him. But if I killed him, I would have a murder on my conscience for the rest of my life. Sooner or later, the Secret Service that employed him would find me and kill me also. Psychologically, I was completely in his control. I was very frightened. "We must stop talking now," he said. "No conversation during the day will be our rule. I'll be on guard from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and we'll talk during the last 2 hours. My assistant will be on guard the rest of the time. Now let me make the situation perfectly clear. I can't stop you trying to cut your way out over the top of the door, but if you do, You'll be shot immediately. If we hear you working, we'll cut off your air supply. So be careful, keep calm, and don't lose heart. Your release is certain. This was the end of our conversation. I sat for some hours with my ear at the ventilation hole, but Quive Smith didn't speak to me again.